Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
saints and angels storm.
Good morning, Central Indiana. You're listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's word and desiring his coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and he is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
Good morning, Indiana. As the Christmas season is upon us, we pray for our country as the turmoil is continuously amounting between political philosophies. Of course, the radical, liberal, globalist, socialistic and abortion-loving Democratic Party philosophy is absolutely disastrous for freedom-loving Americans and our constitutional republic. The radical Democratic Party agenda is based on the Antichrist system found in the Word of God. The war for the mind is on. Jesus tells the disciples, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Where is the power of the church in America today, my friends? The church has lost its power because it has quenched and grieved the Holy Spirit. The Antichrist voices are drowning out the voices of the gospel, the only source of all freedom and liberty. You may argue the church has not lost its power, but I challenge you, if the American churches had the power of heaven upon them, the gospel, prayer and the Bible would still be taught and practiced in the classrooms of America's public schools, and we would not be witnessing this political destruction of our electoral process. The atrocious sins of America are due to a lukewarm church because they have lost their spiritual power. They have quenched the power of the Holy Spirit. Balaam is still alive and well, placing many stumbling blocks before us, upon which the churches have blindly fallen. Read about the false prophet Balaam in the book of Numbers, starting at chapter 22, and read the warnings to the churches in 2 Peter, Jude, and Revelation of Balaam's devices. Preachers, Christians, we need to be imploring the help of heaven in these latter days instead of gleefully desiring a stimulus check from the feckless demagogues that hold office in our morally and financially bankrupt governments around the country. Who are these feckless demagogues? They are the useless politicians that are trying to play God. Another stumbling block Balaam put out there is the hundreds of perverted and corrupt English Bible versions that have caused nothing but confusion. And God is not the author of confusion. Many of these versions have completely removed the word hell from the Old Testament, including Lucifer's name. Wow, I wonder who was behind that. What benefit is it to leave the Hebrew word Sheol in the Old Testament text instead of translating it for the reader? That is why this series on the messenger is so important for the God-fearing Christians out there who are so perplexed by the course of our nation. The nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. Not Sheol, hell. See Psalm 9:17 in the King James Bible. Before the Lord's return, let's get our power back and have a real revival of holiness, truth, and biblical understanding. If my people, which are called by my name, who are God's people that are called by his name? Well, you have the Jews, were God's people in the Old Testament, and Christians are God's people in the New Testament. So, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. The best present we could ask for in this Christmas season is for God to heal our land, the land of the free and the home of the brave. Lord, heal us from all disease, sickness, and this engineered pandemic. But also, Lord, more importantly, heal us from our moral and financial bankruptcy. Let's get inoculated this Christmas season with the power of the Holy Spirit. The Messenger, Part 19.
Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. There's a requirement to be separate. What did God do with Israel? What did God do with Israel? He separated them from Egypt, and he brought them into Canaan land, into a promised land, and he told them to extract the Canaanites and the Jebusites and the Hivites and the Hittites and all the parasites of the land. Cleanse the land of those people. Get rid of them. Because you leave them in the land and you're going to go after their gods instead of after me. You're going to get dry rot and you're going to go after their gods. So you got to remove them. What's Hollywood trying to do to us? Put their idols into our minds. They want to corrupt the mind. That's their agenda. They're mind corruptors. They're brainwashers. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. He's speaking to believers. This is a requirement after you're saved, to be separate from the world, to keep yourself separate. What did Israel do all through the Old Testament? They constantly walked back in the ways of the heathen that were around them. They started to worship their or sacrifice their children to the god of Moloch and burn them and abort them. Oh, sounds like something we do in our country. Greg sent me a link on Child Protective Services and about one of the states. I forget what state it was, but they have misplaced, I think it was Arizona, if I'm not mistaken. Misplaced children. 200 plus children misplaced. They don't know where they're at. Take children out of their parents' homes and then you can't keep track of them? Whose hands are they getting into? What pedophile hands are those children getting into? We need to understand that in order to be sons and daughters here, in this aspect here, we need to separate. This talks about holiness, the Holy Spirit, the sanctification, being holy, 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 the allowing the work of the Holy Spirit to come in and clean the house, to clean the temple, to make it presentable to the Lord. And so he says, I will receive you only if you keep yourself separate, separate from the world. Be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you at the judgment seat of Christ. The Bible says in 1 Peter, there in your notes, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 through 16. Therefore, gird up your loins of your mind. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. Means get your mind on track here. Get your mind thinking properly. Okay? Gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, the revealing of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, all manner of behavior. The word conversation can be also said of the word behavior. Because basically what comes out of your mouth in conversation is your behavior outside, how you behave, it's what your mind is saying, what your mind is thinking, what what's in your heart. And so your behavior and your conversation are closely linked to one another, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. A verse in Hebrews that you don't have in your notes, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Wait a minute, I thought I'm saved, I'll see the Lord. Follow peace with all men and holiness. This is talking about living with the Lord Jesus Christ in the millennial kingdom. Following peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. That's serious stuff. There is initial faith and there is continuing progressive faith. This latter faith deals with our walk each and every day of our lives, how we proceed through life guided by the Holy Spirit's leading and power, all in accordance with the Word of God. Salvation in the following passage cannot be referring to eternal life via justification, but salvation into the kingdom. Chapter 1 proclaims being counted worthy of the kingdom for which ye suffer. If you live for the kingdom, you're going to suffer. If you live to be accepted into the kingdom, you're going to suffer. Because the natural drift of even the Christian, of the believer, is to go back into the world. And you have to constantly fight that. Just like that boat that's made of wood, you gotta constantly fight the dry rot. You gotta constantly fight the house that has flooding in your crawl space, or water in your crawl space, or water in your basement, or gets wet often. You're constantly fighting the dry rot. You got a leak in the house, in the shower, in the back wall, and you have dry rot, and you got to get to it and replace those beams there wall studs because of the dry rot. So it takes an effort. It takes diligence in our lives to walk in this accountability process. So it says here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." What is that salvation saying? That's based upon sanctification of the Spirit, not the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that has to be a different salvation. Just as Dr. Dixon taught us last summer, almost a year ago, on the 28th of July, a year ago, he taught us there are two justifications. There's two sanctifications. There are two salvations. There are two gospels. And we will see this in the scriptures. There's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's the gospel of the kingdom that Jesus preached when he was here on this earth. So, chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is cleansing. It does a cleansing in our lives. It throws out the idols in our lives and brings in the holy. But we got to allow it. We better not wrestle with that Holy Spirit. No, I'm not giving that up. I don't want to give that up. No, I like that one. Please keep it in the corner over here. You know, it's like that piece of furniture. That's the ugliest thing in the house. No, my great, 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 great grandmother had that way back when. Oh, we have to keep that. That's just such a beautiful piece. Even though it's the ugliest thing in the house, we got to keep it. My wife wants to get rid of the coffee table in our house. I said, wait a minute. It's got all the teeth marks of all the kids as they were learning how to stand up and walk and bite down. They bite down with their teeth on the coffee table. We got to save that coffee table. It's gotten ugly. But you know, you do the same thing in your household. We do in ours. We fight. No, I don't want to throw that out. I don't want to throw that out. You know, you're fighting over what you want to throw out and what you don't want to throw out. I want to keep that. You know, Kim says, you can throw out a zillion of your books. You don't read them anymore. You don't use them anymore. But I want to keep them, Kim. I just, you know, I used them 40 years ago. So, you know, it's, but that's what the Holy Spirit is doing. The Holy Spirit is telling you got to throw some things out of your life. It's the cleansing. It's the cleansing of the, of that, of the work, and it's a cleansing thing. And we're going to see a lot of that here as we continue on. Luke 13, verse 23 and 24. You may be saying that you thought you were saved by the shed blood of Jesus Christ at Calvary and his subsequent resurrection, but note the following. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the straight gate. Strive. Well, if you just read that real quickly and don't look up the word strive, you just say, okay, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. But there's a serious point here. Strive means effort, exertion, labor. Wait a minute, I thought I'm saved by faith. I thought I'm saved by faith. What is this trying to tell me? Strive to enter in at the straight gate? This is talking about the kingdom. Getting the prize. Finishing the race. Run for the race. Make it to the finish line. Persevere in your life. Press on. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. You have an arrow there. It says, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. There's a key word, seek. This sanctification, salvation, is rewarded based upon a believer's obedient faithfulness. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It's all based upon rewards. The kingdom entrance into the straight gate is based upon rewards to those who diligently seek him. There's that word, diligently seek him. Because let me tell you, I didn't diligently seek the Lord to get saved. And neither did you. You didn't do this diligent, oh, I need salvation, I need to get saved. No, somebody either talked to you about it, or you just accidentally heard the gospel. My case, it was accidentally heard the gospel. I just liked the music. And I heard the preaching after the music, and then I listened and obeyed. I wasn't seeking salvation. I was not seeking to become a preacher. I was not seeking to enter into the ministry. I wasn't seeking to change my career direction. But those things came after I got saved. But that's when we diligently seek him and fall on our face and say, Lord, now what? Now that I'm saved, now what? Now what? What do you want me to do? Guide me, direct me, lead me, clean me, wash me, purify me, make me holy. Be pleased with your temple that the Holy Spirit dwells within. Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's dealing with the kingdom and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's in Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6. That's talking about all that righteousness that Jesus is speaking of, his righteousness in the Sermon on the Mount. unbeknownst to many believers, is that they are actually resurrection deniers. Not this crowd, not you that are in this room. Unbeknownst to many believers is that they are actually resurrection deniers. If they believe they will rule and reign with Christ based solely upon the fact that they are saved, they deny the necessary spiritual attainment required to secure the first resurrection. They deny the prerequisite to obtain this prize. So they're, in a sense, Sadducees. They're resurrection deniers. That's what the Sadducees. Remember the great way to get the Sadducees and the Pharisees to argue with one another was to raise the issue, and Paul did it several times, and the Lord Jesus did it, raise the issue of resurrection. Because the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. And though they were two sort of political parties within the religious leader group, one denied the resurrection. Well, there's a group, Christians in Christianity deny the first resurrection. They don't think they need to attain it because they already got it, they say. It's our prize. We've got the prize when we got saved. So in a sense, they're resurrection deniers. Election. In the following passage, it's speaking about inheritance into the kingdom provided we endure the trials of our faith and hence receiving the salvation of our soul. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience. There's that word obedience that we've been studying. Spiritual authority and obedience. Christ was obedient to the authority of the Father. Jesus teaches us obedience. Sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Elect. Not that you're elect to be saved. Elect out of the saved to be in the kingdom by the sanctification of the Spirit. This is a big topic. I think this is the longest series I've ever preached in my life on the Holy Spirit. The moving of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, we need to understand that. And grasp that and ask the Spirit of God to work in our lives.
You've been listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel, 13500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. Please join us again next week, in person and right here on Freedom 95.